in a world dominated by fear and mass manipulation of the media, who can you trust? Just when you think there is no hope alive, you find out that there is an alternative news source to turn to. Revere Radio Network, keeping the dream of sovereignty and freedom alive for all. Revere Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in the following broadcast do not necessarily reflect the views of Revere Radio Network, Rob Revere, or any other host on the network. They are the personal thoughts and feelings of the host given the presentation. We support total free speech here at Revere Radio Network, even when it's ugly. Enjoy.
Hey, you're listening to Revere Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Revere Radio Network. You're listening to the worldwide home of free speech when you're listening to Revere Radio. It can be found at revereradio.net. This show is called Nowhere to Run. I'm happy to be with you guys today. Always happy to be here on the network. I got a lot to cover today, so we will get right to it. First, we're going to take care of correcting some of the mistakes we made in the last show. We had a lot of those, so let's get right to it.
I've just picked up a fault in the AE-35 unit.
It wasn't lies, it was just bullshit.
This sort of thing has cropped up before, and it has always been due to human error.
I wiped a booger on your shirt, I made a dog and a cat kiss, I swiped a bolted-down TV from a Holiday Inn, I coveted the wife in Jaws 2, I lied to a waiter, I masturbated 8 billion times, and I have no plans to stop masturbating in the future.
Woohoo! I'm clean! In your face, Lord!
Okay, I said that the height of the Great Pyramid was 5,449 inches. It's actually 5,812 inches, .98. And finding that out, I found something pretty interesting out about that. Check this out. We know from geometry that there is a universal relationship between the diameter of a circle and its circumference. Consider this. The height of the pyramid's apex is 5,812.98 inches. Each side is 9,131 inches from corner to corner in a straight line. These are pyramid inches, by the way. If the circumference of the pyramid is divided by twice its height, and keeping in mind that the diameter of a circle is twice its radius, the result is 3.14159, which just happens to be pi. Incredibly, this calculation is accurate to six digits, so the pyramid is a squared circle. And thus, pi was designed into the 4,600-year-old structure. Pi is demonstrated many times throughout the pyramid. Now, you know, they give a date here. Whatever, I'm not going to fight them on the date. I also have another major correction regarding this. I was talking about the granite box in the King's Chamber, this box, only piece of furniture in the Great Pyramid, and it sits in this resonant room, and it has the exact volume of what the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be. It would be a perfect fit. And that, you know, that could be rationalization, that could be anything, but it's pretty amazing when we look at what else is going on. But what I need to correct is, as an afterthought, when I was leaving the subject, I was like, well, they could have even used the Ark of the Covenant to build the pyramids, considering it had electrical, you know, properties, seemingly, from a read of the Old Testament and all this other stuff. But that's absolutely impossible, because, or at least it's not possible for them to have built it why they were slaves in Egypt, because they didn't build the Ark of the Covenant, I'm pretty sure, until after they left Egypt. And, you know, we're in the desert and all that. So that's pretty much crazy talk. But check out some of this other stuff that I found in looking into this. And we talked about biblical references to the Great Pyramid, or what's conjectured to be the Great Pyramid. And some of those are Jeremiah 32, verses 20, Isaiah 19, verses 19 and 20. And just to expand on that one, it says, in that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. Now, in the following verse, it talks about that in a singular way. And it says, and it. So it takes the both of the altar and the pillar. And keep in mind, an altar here is used the Hebrew word, the Lion of God, and it means a witness altar. It's not a blood altar. It's not, you know, something that would be sacrificed to. So it's an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar on the border thereof to the Lord. But in the following verse, it refers to it as a singular, which is a common thing in Hebrew, apparently, and it's used in a poetic thing. It would, in a poem, it would read like, in that day there is an altar to Jehovah in the midst of the land of Egypt, even a pillar at the border thereof to Jehovah. And the reason it's simultaneously at the border of and in the midst of is interesting in itself, because Egypt has always been referred to as North and South Egypt. Even the headdresses that the pharaohs wore, and in fact the title of the pharaohs, were all about the pharaoh of North and South Egypt. And their headdresses were dual colored to reflect this. Giza actually means the border, I believe, of, and the Great Pyramid itself sits directly on the southern and northern borders of Egypt, but at the same time it's in the midst of Egypt, so it's both in the midst and on the border of. So it's interesting in itself when you start to look at that. So that's an interesting one. But something I didn't really look into, and I just found out some of the ideas about what is said in Job about the pyramid, and that is Job 38 verses 1 through 7. And here basically God's kind of letting Job have it, just kind of showing him what's up, I guess. And he says, who is this that darketh counsel knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations fastened? And here it means the foundations are fastened, or made to sink, like a seal into wax, as it says in the margins. Or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? The morning stars and the sons of God bit are pretty interesting in themselves, but we'll leave that for another show. Here God is talking about the creation of the universe. And it seems to, with a few different key points here, he's talking about, you know, the creation of the universe, but he's likening it almost to this creation of the pyramid. I can go through some more things, and I will here in just a second, that's going to liken this and at least give you an understanding that it might actually be something, this might really be a witness to God in various ways, and could very well be something God commissioned or did by his own hand. And what's interesting about that verse in Job is that he talks about the fastening of these foundations and that the cornerstone singular, which must refer to a pyramid, or I won't say must, but, you know, definitely lends to think that. But what's interesting is when he talks about the fastening of these foundations, and what's extremely interesting, and it happens in no other pyramid in Giza, or in the whole land of Egypt, or anywhere for that matter, is the fastening of the foundations, the four corners found very recently, to be on these sockets. It's amazing, these football field-sized sockets that are connected to a... The only thing that could possibly hold up the pyramid in the whole world is a mountain. Nothing could support the weight of it. And it just so happens that Giza's sitting on top of a granite mountain, and it's fastened to it by these sockets. It's pretty amazing. Here's a few things about the pyramid that might make you think. It's built to face true north, which is between like 5 arc minutes to true north, not magnetic north. And the closest thing we have is some observatory. I can't remember where. It's some high-tech thing that's twice that. I mean, not even anywhere close to true north. That could be a coincidence, of course. But the pyramid is located at the exact center of the Earth's landmass. Okay, that is that its east-west axis corresponds to the longest land parallel across the Earth. And similarly, the longest land meridian on the Earth through Asia, Africa, Europa, Antarctica also passes right through the pyramid. So it's north, south, east, and west. And if you took each quadrant, there would be exactly the same amount of land in each quadrant. So it's technically the center of the Earth. And it also just happens to make it the least likely place to earthquakes and other catastrophes, so I hear. And, of course, that can be used to say, oh, well, the aliens knew, you know, what was going on too, and they will. I mean, they're going to say that the pyramids were built by aliens at some point anyway, because we can't build them. I mean, I used to work in a field where we rented and sold gear to lift or move the heaviest stuff in the world. I mean, people would call with all these different projects. I mean, lifting the heaviest things that are available to be lifted in the entire world, and I never turned anybody down. There was always a gantry, a hoist, a sling. There was always a way to lift or move your heavy-ass piece of whatever. If somebody had called me regarding some of the stuff that they did and with the Great Pyramids, and not just to mention the cutting of the stones and how and all the enigmas and problems that come in with transporting them and everything else. We're just talking about lifting the stones, not even lifting the stones, placing the stones, moving the stones. I would have to turn them down. I mean, I would have to say, I can't help you. And my boss would have been like pretty pissed at me. But I mean, especially like Baalbek and some of the stuff that went on there. But again, I think that there are numbers with looking around in this that are very creation of the universe numbers. And like the 144,000, the 144, the 12 that seems to come up in the creation of the universe math and everything. That same here, the casing stones, there are 144,000 of them. There's so much to know about the intricacies of the numbers of the measurements and things like this. And it does seem that it's got the fingerprints of God all over it. It seems like it would be a very good witness to the Lord, and as it says. And I don't know exactly how it's going to be used, and I don't know anything. But I do think that the other side, these evil bastards running the world, are looking to utilize the inert power in this somehow, some way. It's going to come into play here real soon, I think. And I think it, like Arizona Wilder says, they don't really know how to use the power that well, and it keeps blowing up in their face. And I think, you know, it probably is, but I think they're getting closer, and I think they've found what they've needed to make whatever needs to work nowadays. Whatever, I still think that there seems to be a lot of theories about it, but people on both sides, those arguing for Christianity and paganism, and everybody seems to agree that the pyramids are pretty otherworldly. Okay, so that was it. The world's longest correction bit. So let's wrap this up and see how much stuff we can get wrong this week. All right, I'm going to comment a little bit on the recent goings-on in the news and as it applies to 9/11. And what's been happening with The View, Rosie O'Donnell, this mainstream media meltdown of and awakening of regular people to the idea that September 11th was indeed an inside job and very provable to that end. It's just been a matter of the complete and total lockdown control of the media is the only reason we don't know about it. And this is part of what I think is is going to happen. It's something that I've been praying for, and I know that a lot of people have been too. And that is that everybody can see. It's absolutely imperative, in my opinion, for, and I think that that's why 9/11, partially, what good can come out of 9/11, and that is letting people make the leap of faith in belief that their government has been taken over by people that have killed and will kill to further their end. It's a big leap of mental faith that people need to make, because inherently it's the problem with trying to convince somebody that fluoride is actually, you know, on purpose trying to make us stupid, and that vaccines are on purpose trying to kill us, and that all this stuff is happening that we all know about. You know, the biggest problem with trying to explain this to people is that they can't make that leap of faith that the government can really knowingly be actively trying to kill us. But that's what 9/11 does for people. And it's such an open and shut case. They've packaged it with, you know, very well. It's very provable, and it's very, you know, with your loose changes and all the 9/11 mysteries and terror storms and everything else that you can throw out there to somebody. It's very well documented, and the only reason people don't know about it yet is because the mainstream media is locked down, controlled by something like 13 families or something like that. And that's to do with the FCC allowing, you know, a few years back, allowing, taking away the limits of how many radio stations you could own, TV stations, newspapers. I mean, that was a fundamental problem in this. Once they took that away, then the people with the unlimited money just simply went on a buying spree and bought everything. Not that the media wasn't controlled for hundreds and hundreds of years, but now they've made it so important at the same time that, and they put a TV in everybody's house and got us all zombified, and they've made us believe that the TV is God for the most part. If it's not on the TV, then it's not true, and then all they had to do is control all the TV, and then, you know, it's really not that hard to control an entire country. In fact, if you got a TV and you've had the brainwashing campaign of making it so important to everybody, then, you know, it's really not that hard to control a population. But I'm getting off the subject. I think that we're in kind of an end game here, and that is that there's a thousands and thousands and thousands of year old plan to create this one world government, one world religion, and we're at the last stages of that, and they're very, very, very close to getting it done, and then to forcing us to worship their guy here that they put in charge of the whole thing. And we're at a point where, when they have the infrastructure built, they will not need the secrecy anymore. It can be an overt, total world government with a king telling you what to do, and you'll have no choice to do it because there's cameras and chips, and, you know, there's nothing. There's no way to fight 1984 if the infrastructure's already there, if you're born into it. But what the problem is this 9/11 thing is breaking it open a little bit further, because if we are to survive, there are a lot of people out there. Go to Walmart, go to your grocery store, and look around, look at the eyes of these people. There's a lot of people out there that have to, in order to survive, they have to understand that the government is trying to kill them, you know. And the Global 2000 documents, I mean, you can prove it to somebody that, you know, you're sitting there having a conversation with, but the average person, in order to survive what's coming, they have to distrust the government on the level of, well, they killed all those people on 9/11, I mean, we know that, so what else are they doing? And what, you know, that's the kind of awakening that needs to happen, because without that, we're all doomed to be led to slaughter, except for the very few people that are out here talking about this and know about this. The rest of us are screwed if we can't make that initial choice. And that's why right now it's very crucial. It's happening before the awakening wants to on their end. They don't want this to happen, this awakening, but I think that they understand that it has to. And that's a lot of these false teachers and whatnot are using this end and saying, oh, well, in the, you know, here in the next 10 years, there's going to be a big awakening and saying the truth of this actual spiritual awakening, but using it to their end to prove that, you know, a dogma about Christianity being untrue. And keep in mind, all these guys, they bare their fangs when, you know, they'll tell their whole story about the ancient history or whatever, but when they start talking about Christianity, their little beady fangs come out and they have all this unsubstantiated claims, and you can tell that that's really their whole goal. I mean, you know, they can say that they are, you know, they have all these goals about trying to teach you about all this stuff, but really, there's an illogical dogma that comes out when they start talking about Christianity. Anyway, and some of them, by the way, are just mad at God, and that's okay, but some of them are actually working for the agenda. But I think that it's starting now with The View and Rosie O'Donnell. I mean, God bless her. You know, The View already had a built-in audience. What was it, 3 million people or something like that? And they couldn't, it's hard to do something with that because they already have a loyal audience that believes in them and you know, goes and sees the movies that they like and all this stuff. And so you can't shut that down, unlike, you know, there's a lot of things you can do to a lot of people, you know, in other ways. But in a situation like The View, it's turned into such a snowball effect. And what's the most important thing about it, and I'm so glad for this, is that because it's a very logical argument, they're doing it very logically, but all the talk show hosts are now being shown to be false. And you know, Bill O'Reilly, everybody knew he was a big spectacle for a long time. He's doing more harm than he ever did good. But to all the people like, the people like that listen to Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh, there's a lot of logical people that love those guys. And if you listen to radio, you associate with the host a lot. And they have done that over the years, and they associate with them. And now some of these people are feeling betrayed because they see the logical arguments of September 11th because the truth is sneaking through the mainstream media because all this grassroots stuff that we're doing and through the help of God, in my opinion, too. And once the logical arguments hit their ears, and then they see how their radio and talk show people react to it very illogically, and then it shows very clearly to somebody that doesn't even know what the control mechanisms are behind it and who is behind these shows and stuff, they have a human instinct to know that these people and the whole news media in general is controlled by something and doing these illogical arguments against it. And it has to happen that way because it's, again, part of this necessary mistrust that we must get soon regarding our news media, because they're the ones that are going to be telling us the dogma coming with these new aliens or whatever, however it's presented to us here in the future. Whatever happens to make us believe in this new world religion is going to be chiefly told the backstory by these guys. And if there's not an immediate mistrust by the government and of the media, then we're all doomed. I mean, it's too big. There, if everything just continued the way it was for the last 5 years, and that level of trust in the government and the media, then we're doomed, absolutely doomed to die, because they want us dead. You know what? Ted Turner says 95% of the population. The Prince Philip says 90%. You know that. The Global 2000 documents, they want us all dead. And now that they have all the... You'll talk to some intellectuals that now have... I mean, universities have always been the figureheads, the gatekeepers, and they were always a very high priority to convince through intellectual means. And it's the easiest thing to do with the intellectuals because you can always play on their pride and, you know, well, you're so smart that, you know, all these people don't really understand what you do, old chap, you know, and then it trickles down to everybody else. But that's what's been happening with universities and stuff, is they tell them that global population does need to be reduced, and they kind of planted that seed at the top levels, and that trickled down to your quasi-intellectuals like my friends and whatnot, who some of them believe, yes, we do need to reduce the population, you know, it is getting real bad and all this stuff. Let me submit that, first of all, it's not our job to worry about the population. I mean, that means that at some point you have to designate who is in charge of killing everybody. Okay, yeah, the population is a problem. Who has the authority to kill them? To kill off the population? Who are you going to put in charge of the killing? I mean, but see, that's where it is. Run this scenario with me. You have all this money, and you got recruited into this group, sort of. They needed to round you up because, again, they can't have somebody with independent money that's not controlled by them because they're dangerous, because they have power to expose them. So they bring them into these clubs, and they stroke their egos real nice and tell them, you know, how smart they are. And, you know, we are the ones ruling this world. It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it to all those poor people out there not knowing what's going on and whatever, whatever. But we got it all figured out, and we're helping them, and we're doing all this stuff. So then they convince them that it's their job as the smartest people in the world, because they have all the money. So they must, therefore, be smarter than everybody. And, you know, it's really easy to believe a lie when somebody's stroking your ego about it. You know, it's easy to say, well, you know, that is true. I guess I am pretty smart now that you mention it. And that's kind of how this is happening. And I think that's probably what they did with Bill Gates, because they rounded him up and got him to use all his money to sterilize and kill all those people in Africa with the humanitarian aid, which means forced vaccinations, as far as I can tell. And they're just, and the people in Africa, the poor people in Africa, are getting so screwed by these people. I mean, the UN getting busted sterilizing people with the tetanus vaccines. You know, they're so benevolent, they want to give all the women tetanus vaccines, never mind the men. And they find out that, you know, all the vaccines are contaminated with very expensive hormone. Then they got busted with that. Oh, it just got contaminated, that was all. And then they found out that there was 100 different factories producing this vaccine. So how did all 100 factories get contaminated with the same very expensive hormone that sterilizes women? That's kind of weird. But don't you see, I mean, they're making it a global population reduction is just a part of it, just a small part of it, because, you know, and that, I don't know what they're doing with the chemtrails and stuff. Man, I feel powerless about that thing. I just hope it's something that is not immediately gonna affect us, because what can you do? I mean, except for walk around with a gas mask all the time, and I'm not opposed to doing it if I figure out what the hell it is. But what is that? I mean, they have stepped up that chemtrail thing. I mean, I can go outside right now and see them. What are they doing? It's not good. I know that. It's not good. So to make a long story short, or to make a short story rather long, actually, this 9/11 is doing this. And I hope and pray that there is going to be more of it. There needs to be more of the people with built-in audiences and stuff to come out and to start to really wake up America, and hopefully with this loose change and stuff. But you have to be very careful, because it's happening too quick. This awakening is very uncontrollable, and you will see them pulling all the stops and playing all the cards before this happens. And it's going to blow up in their face, but they're going to do it anyway. You'll start to see with the 9/11 thing, they're going to basically start the war with Iran. They're going to call it World War III and all the media and stuff. So it's going to be super fear number, you know, whatever. So they're going to start World War III. They're already starting that with this basically Pearl Harbor incident of the British sailors. I don't know how far that's going to go, because it's shifty and shady the way it went down. So, you know, there's already conspiracies surfing seen in the mainstream media about that. So it would be a black eye, to say the least. But, you know, it hasn't stopped them before. So they're going to do that. And they're going to pull the economic rug out from under us probably very, very soon. And they're going to use the idea of, oh, we're in a war, so that's why our economy's bad. And they're going to crash the economy, and which is going to happen anyway. I mean, they know that going into a war with Iran means borrowing trillions of dollars or whatever from the Federal Reserve, and we're already broke, and that means that we're totally screwed. Actually, we'll probably end up borrowing a lot of that money from China, but anyway. But they got to keep in mind, they are trying to crash the economy, because it serves the agenda of, A, creating this economic class's desperation on our part, this Treaty of Versailles, Nazi Germany thing, that we'll trust anybody that brings us back to normalcy and lets us have hot showers again. And And so they're going to do that in addition to they need to crash our currency so they can make the Amero, this North American Union currency, look very attractive. Oh, well, we can go. Our currency's crashed, and that's too bad. We, you know. But and here's the other thing that this serves. If you read the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which is an amazing document, they say it's a forgery and, you know, whatever. I'm not opposed to any theories on it. But the thing is, it's an amazing read, and whoever wrote it was a super, super genius at understanding the population and how to control them. But one of the things that it says is that you have to get everybody, in order to fall into this one world government, you have to get everybody so fed up with politics and hate it so much and that they don't want to hear about the parties or anything. You know, that's how you get them ultimately into this world government is creating a distaste for politics. And that's why, in a sense, this Bush administration has a blank check to make people mad at it. And that's, you know, once they got in with the second term or whatever, it was obviously a blank check to make people as mad as possible at the party. This serves two agendas. Again, I mean, this is so, it's so multifaceted, you have to really stay up with it. But what the two agendas on that end would be is, number one, it gets everybody so mad at politics in general, it's going to prep us for this new world thing. But at the same time, they have to have one more step of our government before this ends. And at the very least, this makes everybody want to vote Democratic, so they have an easier time at getting their man or woman into the office without having to use Diebold and without having to trick you and to fix the elections or anything. All they have to do is put their man or woman in the Democratic spotlight. So that's a big, you know, issue too. So we'll see how this all plays out, but man, it's not going anywhere good, and especially this economic crackdown. Everybody is sure that pays attention to the economy and economic news knows there's no way around it. Our dollar has to crash. I mean, they have set it up and they're going very fast and to that end, and once we attack Iran, it's over. You know, I am starting to believe, this is how deeply I am a conspiracy nut now. I was at a gas station the other day and I saw one of those Inquirers and the Globe magazines and the headlines, one of the headlines in the Inquirer was like, Anna Nicole is a suicide. And, you know, I've been listening to a lot of the Freeman perspective about, you know, the mind control of Britney Spears. And, oh, actually, it said that she was poisoned, not suicide. You know, I'm starting to believe that this is the real news, that their religion is to kind of tell everybody what's going on. And they always have with, like, movies. For every conspiracy, there's a B movie that lays it all out. You know, and it seems to be part of their religion to have to tell the population what they're doing in these slick little ways. And I remember that Men in Black, you know, movie when they said that actually those little tabloid things were actually the real news. But anyway, I saw the World one, whatever that one's called, said, you know, how to survive the economic depression coming this summer. And I was like, you bastards, I bet you they are doing it. But you know, that's just proving it to everybody. Don't pay attention to me, I'm a complete conspiracy nut job, so don't pay any attention to me. Okay, looks like I ranted for somewhere in the neighborhood of half an hour, so I'm gonna take a break and play some independent music, and we'll get right back on the other end with a totally different subject, I promise.
Ain't it strange how we spend our time, smoking our cigarettes, drinking our cheap beer, waiting for a sign, and ain't it strange how we spend our time, looking for answers to questions, you know, we ain't never gonna find. And is it a waste of time? Lives that a waste of space, yeah. Lives that a waste of life. Yeah, I don't think so. Ain't it our drunken stupors and our cloudy A's, baby. Ain't it strange? Yeah, and how we spend our days. We got a 9 to 5, so say we're home by 6 and up by 8.
It's time to stand up and be heard. Are you ready for the alternative media revolution? Ready or not, here we are. Revere Radio Network, bringing you the best in alternative news and commentary.
Call Recall for the memory of a lifetime.
For the memory of a lifetime, Recall, Recall, Recall.
This can't be.
Be what? Be real?
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
A yellow-coated curfew is now in effect. Any unauthorized personnel will be subject to arrest. This is for your protection.
How would you feel about making a change? We fear change.
So me and you are pretty much friends by now, right?
Yes.
So you got my back and everything?
What?
Never mind.
All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning back into the Revere Radio Network. It is the worldwide home of free speech, and it is listener-sponsored radio, so if you have an extra $5 or $10... it really would help keep the bandwidth and everything going over there. It's growing every day, and it's providing a great service to a lot of people. So you can go down to revereradio.net, and there's a little button there, a make a donation button, and you'll be directed in all the different ways to do that and everything. Okay, that was my band, actually, a little shameless self-promotion that played during the break. And my band's called The Loft. You can find us at lovetheloft.com or myspace.com/theloft. We've got a lot to get into. Also, I'm going to solicit prayers if I can. If anybody has any prayers that they can spare, I sure could use them. And that's how you support the show. And it really does help. And if you want to contact me for any reason, and I encourage you to do so, especially if you're mad at me and I got some stuff that I need to correct, You can do that at chris@conspiracyclothes.com. That is Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at conspiracyclothes.com. Conspiracyclothes.com. Conspiracy Clothes is my company. We sell some conspiracy-related t-shirts and all that stuff. But that's my email. It's a secure server. So you can tell me your secrets, and I will pass them on to the my handlers, and they will punish you severely for it. Just kidding. Okay. Let me get into something that I feel is very important. Now, everybody pretty much thinks I'm gone a little crazy here because I don't like any. I feel like there's something wrong with everything that we eat. You know, it's like, don't chew that gum. You know, it has aspartame in it, and don't drink Diet Cokes. All the water, so therefore, all the coffee and all the vegetables and everything else have fluoride in it, and all the meats are pumped with hormones and you know, really, and all the junk food, the corn and is genetically modified, and they don't label it, and that's genetically modifying us. It's messing with our chromosomes. And my point is that I'm not just some tree hugger thinking everybody should eat right, man, because, you know, you want to be slim and trim and whatever. I don't care about any of that. I'm just saying that knowing what I know about the nefariousness of these people and their goal to exterminate us, I mean, it's we're living in a day and age where it might be absolutely imperative for us not to eat that stuff, and they're, you know, and people seem to think, oh, let the kids chew the gum, you know, it's okay, it's not going to hurt them, it didn't hurt me. Well, it's different than it was when we were kids. I mean, it's not about, like, oh, you have bad health. It's about, you know, aspartame will scar your brain, you know, and give you permanent, you know, some horrible disease. I mean, and fluoride is making us stupid. I don't understand. You know, it's not fun and games anymore. We really can eat chicken if it's got all these horrible chemicals and arsenic and all these hormones and everything. And all this diseased red meat that they use in all the fast foods and stuff. And I'm saying we're like in the last days here, and maybe we should make some sacrifices and really try to eat right, because I think that it has serious implications. I mean, it's not like, oh, it'll be all right, it's just a little unhealthy. No, it's going to kill you. You know, there's nothing. Genetically modified food has never been tested for the long term. They're splicing genes of corn with, like, giraffes and stuff. I mean, when they say genetically modified, they're going willy-nilly with it. I mean, the logic is so ridiculous. Like, let's mix potatoes with jellyfish. That way, they will glow when they're dehydrated. I mean, this is the kind of thinking that they're doing, But, you know, then they have this propaganda of, like, somebody, and genetically modified food tastes just like regular food. And you have some woman eating it, it's like, tastes the same to me, you know, and then they never have to mention it. And it's in all this junk food and stuff. I mean, we are being attacked by this. And to be honest with you, I think the reason that it's so important is because they are afraid chiefly, I mean, of our blind might of the masses, for one thing, but also of our natural power and spiritual power that we were born with. I mean, you know, it's not about being psychic. You know, they're scared of psychics, independent psychics and whatever too, but just the regular human being is more powerful than any psychic with their ability, ability to converse with the creator of the universe and their authority over all evil. Mostly what this is all about is the devil trying to lead us away from understanding our ability to boss him around. I mean, we have total authority over him, and he's changing things and, you know, and pumping us full of different chemicals to literally lessen our power. You know, I mean, people tend to think that prayer is not about, you know, it isn't. I mean, you can say it without saying it. You know, you can pray at any time and be heard and everything like that. But there are levels of power in prayer. You know, like, one person's prayer may change the world, but but two may, you know, is more likely to, and three and 25 may save an entire country, you know. There's power in numbers with it, in the same way that I believe there's different things that you can do and the ways that you can live your life that give you more power in prayer. And especially understanding your authority in it and having faith that it will happen. Faith is the key to making it happen. It really gives the ultimate power in prayer. And the whole system here that we're here is set up to trick us into not believing that we have this power. And there's physical and mental and things that are fighting us against this. Because the devil already lost the big game. He lost that with Jesus. I mean, he lost. And he tried everything he could to keep him from coming. He tried to kill the babies once he found out it was coming through a certain line. He did every single thing he could to prevent this Redeemer from coming. And then when that happened, and it redeemed us, and then therefore gave us complete authority over evil because of our redeemed nature, he shifted it to COINTELPRO, and he really wants us not to believe that, because he can't change the fact that we do have the power. So this is chiefly about us waking up to this and learning about the different things like the genetically modified and the stuff in the vaccines and the fluoride, and looking in a little deeper. I mean, you know, the fluoride's making us stupid and everything, but to realize how it actually is physically affects your spiritual ability through the pineal gland and other things like that. Again, David Icke interviewed an African shaman named Credo Mutwa, and he was extremely convinced that the vaccines that they were giving him were attacks on their spiritual being. I mean, that they were in effect dumbing down the spiritual being. And he said the same thing about fluoride. And it was interesting when I heard that, because I had just read something in Casey, when, if you know anything about Edgar Casey, basically people would ask him random questions, and at that time, in like the 30s, early 40s, somebody asked him about fluoride and if it was actually causing mottled teeth, and, you know, he said yes, and it was funny what he said about it. He said talking about, well, actually, it wasn't there. He actually was talking about meditation when he said, was talking about the way it works and stuff, and how the pineal gland was very important part of how the whole thing was working. And just really conjecture on my part, putting together, because I knew that fluoride accumulates in the pineal gland, and that's one of the reasons for early onset puberty in a lot of people. It is also because of the hormones and all the chicken and beef and everything, but it's also because of fluoride, and that's proven. But hey, you know, it's good for your teeth, and that's not even true, you know. And they admit that it doesn't work if you swallow it, only if you apply it to your teeth. So therefore, all this fluoride that they're putting in our water is only good and of the amount that actually touches your teeth while you drink a glass of water. I mean, if that's not the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard, especially considering the mountaintops high evidence of its detrimental effects on our health. And throw into that mix that research that shows it's detrimental, we don't even use that chemical. That's the good one that they keep telling us that's in there. And only 20% of the fluoridated communities actually use sodium fluoride. We use hexafluoric acid, or silicofluorides is what they call them, which has never been tested on humans. And there's a good reason for it. It's actually the most requested chemical. Every year, I think it's the CDC's toxicology wing asks people what chemical they want to run toxicology on. And the most requested chemical, for a good reason, because it's put in all of our water, and so people want to know what effects it has on humans. It's kind of logical. And they keep turning down the studying on this because it's a toxic waste. I mean, it is swimming with arsenic, and they now admit that any human being living in a fluoridated area where silica fluorides are used, which is pretty much everybody listening to my voice, It's the chief accumulation of arsenic, which is an accumulative poison that has all kinds of effects. I mean, look up arsenic. I mean, it's not a pretty thing, but it accumulates, so you get more poisoned as it, and it's got mercury. It's got everything in it because it's scraped from the smokestacks of these phosphate factories and then shipped to our water companies. It's a worthy fight if you can beat them, and I hope that somebody can beat them, because that and I hopefully that's the kind of thing that people start waking up to here pretty soon. So before I leave that subject, I want to say very clearly that the stuff in our water has never been tested on humans before. Silico fluorides there is not any toxicology reports on humans. It has never been tested to see what effects it has on humans. Yet it is blanketly applied to all of our water supplies to protect our teeth. And it doesn't even work if you swallow it, only if you apply it to your teeth. Okay? There's the logic, okay? And then when you see, you know, in these fluoride battles of these cities, and they fly in these representatives to come in and spit venom all over everybody, and it's obvious that there's something going on with that, because I don't know, I'm not going to get into it. But they put me on the news for some reason. I don't know what that's all about. It's because I made this MySpace page. Here, I'll play the clip of that little news thing if I can find it.
Controversy about something many of us swallow every day: fluoride added to our drinking water. While no one denies it can prevent cavities with topical application, a growing number of cities and countries have decided that ingesting unknown quantities of fluoride is a bad idea. And here in Tennessee, our own top health risk scientist is asking the governor to stop adding fluoride to the water. Dennis Ferrier has our story.
Dr. Kathy Thiessen makes a living assessing health risks. She's worked for the CDC, the EPA, and many other big agencies worried about big health issues. Now Dr. Thiessen is asking Governor Phil Bredesen to stop fluoridating water in the entire state of Tennessee.
There's a considerable amount of information that was not available in the 1940s and 1950s when fluoridation was instituted. What I would like to see is the health professionals themselves to actually take a look at the toxicology papers, the scientific papers, and not to simply rely on what they've been told forever and ever.
Dr. Thiessen joins Tennessee lawmaker and medical doctor Joey Hensley as the most prominent Tennessee voices against fluoride. Chris White is not a scientist. He's a musician with the band Law. But his other passion is removing fluoride from Gallatin's water supply. His MySpace page, Fluoride versus Gallatin, has nearly 400 friends in its first week.
First of all, this is something that people don't know about, and it's such an open and shut case that to educate them has already fired them up, because they just simply can't believe this is happening. And and they have every right in the world to be outraged at this. And outrage is a correct word. And now that they're claiming that it's ineffective other than topically, i.e. brushing teeth, where you spit it out, and they're putting it in our water to go through every cell in your body on its way to your tooth enamel. It's just backwards.
All parties point to the American Dental Association recommending that mothers stop using fluoridated water for baby formula as an obvious sign that fluoride is obviously not for everyone.
We've now found out that fluoride can harm babies, and we also know that it's been admitted that there are other groups that can be harmed by fluoride, such as those that I just mentioned. Then how ethical is it to continue to force fluoride on people when they don't even know what they're drinking, when they haven't been told?
Now, we did attempt to reach the state dental director. Her voicemail said she was in today, but she did not return our calls, Demetria.
Dennis Ferrier, we tried to reach the governor as well for comment. He is traveling to Washington, D.C., and we couldn't reach him.
Yeah, so anyway, you can see that video clip at WSMV.com. Yeah, so you can go to the health section there and see it. But anyway, so I mean, you can see that I'm not alone here. I mean, I'm not although I will say that that news station in Tennessee in general is very progressive. In fact, the news story that that channel did before this one was actually used by a Florida community to get rid of fluoride in their water. They played this Tennessee news clip, and there's just not a lot of people doing it. And it's a shame because it's amazing. I mean, they're kind of beating around the bush a little bit there, but you know, you know, I could have definitely said some more stuff there, but probably wouldn't have made the cut, I'm guessing. So anyway, I did actually, that interview that they did with me was pretty long, so they just kind of cut that in between a lot of stuff, and they added that Loft thing in there. It's like Chris White from the band The Loft. It's like, oh, all right, great. They didn't mention that at all during the interview, by the way. That didn't even really come up at all until the very end. But anyway, so I guess I've filled up the hour here with a bunch of ranting, and I only played one tune. So, oh well. I guess that's it for me, guys. Thanks for listening to everything, and do something with the information that you've been given. Start a MySpace page. Start waking people up. MySpace is amazing. Use it while it's still there, because when you add friends, it's the most amazing thing, because people have to they have to look you over up and down to see if you deserve to be their friend. And even if they don't add you, you can get a lot of information to them. So, you know, find an issue that bothers you, create a MySpace page, and just start adding friends. If I had more time, that's what I would do. I would just sit and start adding friends with the MySpace thing. And you can browse by your city if you want to do something that's related to just your community. Or you can just have a blanket thing like the 9/11 stuff and just start adding everybody. And just put some, you know, stuff on there that you feel passionate about. I mean, there's enough issues out there with the vaccines and the everything else to really do something positive with it. Because Lord knows there's a lot of non-positive things, and they're going to eventually use that to shut it down if it starts having too much effect. So use it while it's still there. Thanks to everybody for listening to the show. Again, you can reach me at chris@conspiracyclose.com. Send me your hate mail and all that good stuff. And you can always support the show by praying for me, making sure I don't spit out any more misinformation or disinformation that you're already getting. Thanks, everybody. Take it easy.
This is Revere Radio Network, Tampa.